Okay, for the next 25 minutes or so, we are joined by one of the new directors of Juicer Preservation of Firearms Ownership, which is a great Second Amendment organization, really hits the gun grabbers where it hurts, pointing out that authoritarians always try to take guns, counters the controlled socialistic left, always saying it's a civil right to have your guns taken, and shows that the first gun laws were against blacks and others. And then, of course, Hitler was for gun control. And it's a very good counterbalance to the ADL, Southern Poverty Law Center, and others that are always out there viciously going after the Second Amendment. Then coming up, I'm going to get into the economy. Big developments, obviously, there with a plunging stock market, QE3 and more. We've got our reporters on the ground in Denver for this Mountain Guardian martial law takeover drill. We've got incredible news dealing with, well, we told you about this a month ago, UN Security Council, climate change, peacekeeping, green helmets. Well, the green helmets have hit. Armed troops burned down homes, killed children to evict Ugandans in name of global warming. They took their property, saying that they've got to balance the carbon footprint of the country, and then sold the carbon footprint to liberal trendies who buy it to put stickers on their cars to feel like they're doing a good job. You can't make this type of eugenics up, this type of extermination packaged in sickening liberal trendiness. So that's all coming up. But, again, time flies. I can't believe it was 2010 Aaron Zeltman died. I remember talking about it. And then I was reading here, and I'm like, what didn't happen 6 months ago? Didn't happen 8 months ago? Didn't happen 9 months ago? Aaron Zeltman, really hardcore defender of the Second Amendment, been interviewing him for 16 years. And I hadn't even heard he was sick, and then heard he passed, which is sad. But he led certainly a good life defending freedom. And so we are joined right now by one of the new directors of the organization, and I do want to hear more about exactly who's honchoing things over there, and so that's why he's with us, Rabbi David Ben-Dori, and he's been the rabbinic director for years, but now is, I guess, expanding his role there, and it's good to have you here with us today.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks so much for having me, Alex.
So, out of the gate, tell us about JPFO.org. Well, let's talk about Aaron a little bit. What a guy who certainly made some big accomplishments for liberty in his life.
Yes, Aaron Zeltman was a force to be reckoned with. He founded JPFO about 20 years ago. He was just disgusted by the fact that the dominant Jewish voices with regard to the issues of Second Amendment rights and firearms ownership were all anti. And he couldn't understand it. It disgusted him. So he went out and he did something about it. He established Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership and led the organization for a little over 20 years until, as you just described, his untimely death in December of 2010.
Well, his work will live on for a long time. Now, what is JPFO doing today? Because you've got Gun Owners of America, that's a good organization. Then you've got the NRA that sells out a lot. But when it comes to really putting out pamphlets, videos, ideas, and really identifying crimes of the ATF, JPFO has been the leader.
We very much try to take the lead in the places that some of those other gun organizations can't go. There are things we can and do say that they will not. And above all, we will not compromise and we will not sell out. So where the NRA might get involved in lobbying and politics, which leads them to all sorts of compromise, we are an educational organization. We seek to provide educational materials, what we call intellectual ammunition, to use against the gun grabbers. And that includes pamphlets, that includes various email alerts, that includes videos that we've done, lectures that I've done, all sorts of materials that are filled with a different approach to gun control. We approach the issue from a completely different angle, and as informed by Jewish history and by Jewish law.
Well, I mean, from my research, about 100% of the time, when governments take guns or arms from people, they become slaves very, very quickly. And I know that's your historical perspective, and it's really gotten the word out there so people realize how hardcore this is. But specifically from a Jewish perspective, I think this is important because I know that I've gone to anti-gun meetings many years ago in Austin, and a lot of times they would be at local liberal synagogues, and I would go there and try to, you know, during question and answers, say this is wrong, this is a bad idea, and they would get very, very upset and, you know, try to imply I was some type of Nazi infiltrator or something to the meeting. So I think that's what's so good that JPFO is countering, you know, some of the folks out there who claim to speak specifically for Jews, saying that it's, I guess, you know, a Jewish law or something to hand in your weapons, which I don't see in the Bible or the Torah.
No, most certainly not. In fact, the very first project that I did for JPFO was called The Ten Commandments of Self-Defense. The Ten Commandments of Self-Defense is an hour-long lecture that goes through a selection of sources from Jewish law. I chose 18 sources. There are many, many more that I could have gone to, but I chose 18 sources ranging from the Torah, the Old Testament, to rabbinic sources, to more modern sources that look at the questions surrounding self-defense, questions surrounding firearms ownership, and ask, what does Jewish law have to say about this issue? Is Jewish law in favor or opposed to disarmament? Is Jewish law in favor or opposed to self-defense? What it comes down to at the end of the day is a very simple statement, which is God has given you life, and to refuse, to fail to defend the life of the innocent is to hold that gift from God in contempt. And so as people who love life, as people who cherish the gifts that God has given us, we have an obligation to defend life. In modern times, one of the best tools that we have at our hands, at our disposal to defend life, is the modern handgun. It levels the playing field in terms of self-defense. And so Jewish law is very clear that you have an obligation to defend the innocent, to defend your own life, to defend the lives of the innocent around you, and to use whatever tools are necessary to do so.
You know, for those out there who don't know the Old Testament or the Torah, and go through some of the, I mean, I know I'm springing this on you, if you've got them in front of you, Rabbi, go through what the Torah, what the Bible actually says versus what we also see in Christian churches. A lot of them now, I've seen Catholic churches, pamphlets, Baptist churches saying it's of God, turn your guns in. I mean, this is something that the big World Council of Churches and others aren't just trying to push through synagogues. They're pushing it across the board.
I can't comment on the churches, but I can comment on the Jewish sources. I'm holding my hand, actually. I thought you might ask me such a question. So I'm holding the study guide that we distribute along with that CD, The Ten Commandments of Self-Defense. This has the 18 sources that I chose as part of that audio lecture. So I will just choose the first one. The first one deals with the case of a potential murderer, someone who is out to kill another person. We call it in Hebrew a rodef, a pursuer. So in the case of a pursuer, you have an obligation in Jewish law to use any means necessary to protect the innocent life of the person being pursued. And in fact, in Jewish law, we equate the pursuer with intent to murder to the pursuer with intent to rape. Or in other words, once someone is going to cause what I'll characterize as grave bodily harm, that person is in the category of a pursuer, that Jewish law obligates us to prevent such an attack, to prevent such an occurrence from happening. What's that based on? It all goes back to a case in the book of Exodus. The case is of a criminal who is tunneling into someone's house in the middle of the night. And what the book of Exodus tells us is that if a criminal is caught tunneling under the wall to get into someone's home in the middle of the night, the homeowner or anyone else can strike that person down and kill them. It's assumed that they are out to harm the people inside, that they are not only after property, that they are going to cause mortal harm to the people inside. And so one can actively defend against such a perpetrator.
By the way, Rabbi, we're going to have you back up. We've only got about 15 minutes left in the future to do a whole hour on this. But I'm seeing parallels with English and European common law. I mean, this is just common sense. Somebody's trying to break in your house at night. It's common sense. You got a right to kill them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, in fact, Alex, the basis of a lot of English law, European common law, comes from Roman law, which is very, very closely connected with Jewish law of the Talmudic period, approximately 1,500 to 2,000 years ago. A lot of very similar jurisprudence, a lot of similar concepts. So, for example, what you're describing is called the Castle Doctrine. The Castle Doctrine isn't called that, but it appears in rabbinic literature, and it's discussed in exactly the terms that you're describing. If someone is breaking into your home, what are the assumptions you can make? Can you assume that this person is going to take property and leave? Or do you have to assume that, or do you have a right to assume, in fact, are you obligated to assume that this person is out to cause you bodily harm, that this person is out to harm your family?
And they can run down the road and do it to somebody else, so you've got a responsibility to put them down.
they're trying to get into your home, you have a responsibility to do something about that. Absolutely. Jewish law, in fact, looks at this as a question of responsibility much more than a question of rights. Most of Jewish law looks at our responsibilities. And we have a responsibility to create and construct a civil society. This person is behaving in a way that is outside of the boundaries of civil society. In doing so, they have given up their quote-unquote rights. And once they've given up those rights, you have responsibilities to maintain that civil society.
We're going to break in a moment, but let's get to number two.
What was number two? You want a second source?
No, I mean, there's so many. I just find it interesting.
Well, I'll throw a second one at you. The Rambam Maimonides, who lived about 800 years ago, he actually extends this further. There are questions about at what point this, I'll call it the castle doctrine, applies in rabbinic law. According to Maimonides, the castle doctrine applies not just to someone breaking into your home, but if someone is doing what we would call criminal trespass. Once that person is on your property uninvited and refuses to leave, meaning they've taken some active step to demonstrate that they are up to no good, once they have refused to leave, that constitutes criminal trespass that is sufficient, according to Maimonides, to justify the use of force to get them to leave your property.
And that's why today you've got to have the sign saying, don't come on my land. That's the upfront warning.
That would be the upfront warning in today's society. That's right. Unless, of course, you live in Texas, in which case, presumably, no warning is necessary.
Yeah. We'll be right back. Interesting stuff. We could spend hours. That's good to know JPFO is still out there fighting, getting great material out. It's invaluable. JPFO.org. We're going to come back with Mr. Ben Dorey on the other side. I'm Alex Jones, GCNLive.com.
Hey guys, are weaker testosterone levels taking you out of the game? Are you gaining fat, feeling tired, losing desire in the bedroom? Get back in the game. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 61% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. Just take Ageless Male every day and boost your testosterone by 61%. When your levels are healthy, you can feel energy again, a great outlook again, and yes, a healthy sex drive. The results are life-changing. Beware of cheap knockoffs. Ageless Male is an exclusive formula and the only one proven in research to boost testosterone 61%. Try Ageless Male, risk-free. Just call 1-800-497-8345. 1-800-497-8345. 1-800-497-8345.
From the shattered Rust Belt come the Lost Vegas.
Well, I think it's a little weird to talk about revolution over the themes and memes of corporate-produced and approved music. I'm Tony Yetzer from the Las Vegas. We produced and approved our own recordings on Life Before the Collapse, and then we put it on vinyl because it sounds good. Take care. Drinking too much coffee.
Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas on 180-gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall. This guy, why don't want me to this guy? Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas.
The Lost Vegas.
Now available at Amazon.com.
OpticsPlanet.com is where discerning gun owners and outdoorsmen go to gear up. OpticsPlanet has the best selection of rifle scopes, red dots, night vision, holsters, bags, and tactical gear on the planet. With always low prices, free shipping on most orders, and expert customer service. Go to OpticsPlanet.com/GCN to get a free gift with purchase. That's OpticsPlanet.com/GCN. Or call 800-332-OPTICS. 800-332-6784.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
They're poisoning the water with fluoride. They're spraying the air with heavy metals. Why and what can you do to defend your family? This week at waterwebinar.com, in an all-new free live online webinar, Earth's most powerful cleansing secret is being revealed. A secret they don't want you to know about. Find out how to take fluoride and heavy metals out of your water and your body. Use it to neutralize deadly inorganic particles like lead, aluminum, even mercury, and remove these accumulated poisons from your body. Go to waterwebinar.com, a water secret so powerful, some have called it the number one threat to the entire New World Order health agenda. It was even used during Chernobyl to clean up nuclear contamination. Go to waterwebinar.com now and sign up for free to find out how to turn the worst water on this planet into pristine, clear drinking water which heals your body. You can take your water freedom into your own hands and defend yourself and your family from the globalist health agenda. Don't get left behind. It's your life, your water, your freedom. Fight for it. Go to waterwebinar.com now.
All right, Rabbi David Mendori is our guest. We're almost out of time, but I will have him back up for a full hour in the near future because this is so interesting. He joins us via video Skype for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. For radio listeners, we'll be archiving the whole thing at PrisonPlanet.tv if you want to see it there. Getting into the history of gun control across the board, and, well, the nightmares that basically appear as soon as populations are disarmed. You've made a big study of this, and so has JPFO. Tell us about it.
We have spent a lot of time on this topic at JPFO. In fact, we have two that were on my mind that are targeting specific populations. We have a video called No Guns for Jews. We have another video called No Guns for Negroes. And No Guns for Negroes looks at gun control as a tool of oppression against blacks. No Guns for Jews obviously does the same, looking at Jews. We have another video called Innocence Betrayed, which looks at the history of gun control as a predecessor to genocide throughout the 20th century, as used by the Soviet Union, by Lenin, as used in China, as used against the Armenians in Turkey, and, of course, as used against the Jews during the Holocaust. But, in fact, the history of gun control goes back far longer than that. I'm always fascinated. I ask people, what was the first recorded historical gun control event, the first historic gun control document? And people typically think this goes back, you know, a few hundred years. In fact, it's much older than that. The first known historic source that has anything to do with gun control goes back to biblical times. In fact, the first book of Samuel in the Old Testament, chapter 13, verse 19, talks about the first use of gun control. Now, of course, we're not talking about guns. We're talking about swords, the guns of that time, as it were, the weaponry of that time, swords, bows and arrows, spears. The Bible tells us that there were no smiths, no blacksmiths found among the Jewish people. And the Philistines, who were, of course, their enemies at the time, said, well, we don't want the Jews to be able to make any swords or spears. And so what they did is they essentially declared a moratorium on sharpening tools for Jews. They made the price of sharpening a tool, even a plow, exorbitant. And so just a few verses later, we're told that on the day of battle against the Philistines, there were no swords or spears among all of the Jewish people in the entire Jewish army, save two, one in the hand of Saul, that's King Saul, and one in the hand of Jonathan, his son.
That's right. Back then, they mainly used slings.
They used slings. That's right. David, of course, king who was to become king, used a sling. But in terms of manufactured weaponry, it was swords and swords, shields, bows and arrows. That's what was available. And the Philistines disarmed the Jews in order to defeat us in battle. They, of course, failed because we had a weapon that they can't disarm us from. And that is, of course, God provided for the Jewish people then and helped us be triumphant in that battle. But that's the first recorded gun control. That's about 3,000 years ago. If I fast forward, you go to about about 2,200 years ago to the Book of Esther, the time of the Jewish dispersion in Persia. So I'll remind your listeners or those who aren't familiar with the biblical sources, the Book of Esther deals with a king named Ahasuerus, who is paid by a man named Haman, who wants to wipe out the entire Jewish people. And he gets a decree from the king saying that the people of Persia are allowed to attack Jews with impunity on a particular date. And so Esther, who is the Jewish queen at the time, she implores the king to save her people. And we're told, I'll give you the exact quote, the king declares, quote, "The king had granted that the Jews were in every city to gather themselves together, to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, to cause to perish all the forces of the people and province that would assault them." Or in other words, the king gave the Jews the right to defend themselves. So clearly, if the king had to give them the right to defend themselves, prior to that, we had a decree, Jews aren't allowed to defend themselves, which is how their enemies were to be triumphant. So this has been a tool, this gun control, this idea of weapon control, has been a tool used to oppress the Jewish people for thousands of years. No Guns for Jews actually goes through that history, coming all the way up into modern times. Gun control, weapons control, arms embargoes, as used against the state of Israel to prevent the Jews there from defending themselves.
Well, Rabbi Ben-Dori, we're going to have to leave it there, but it was great having you on. I look forward to having you back up to look at more history, because it's just amazing, and we see it in every other culture throughout history. It's very fundamental. If anybody tries to disarm you, you're a slave. You're a prisoner. And blacks couldn't have guns, obviously, when they were slaves here, and then even after they were freed. First gun control laws there. You cover that in your excellent film. Thank you so much for spending time with us.
Pleasure being here. Thank you very much for having me on. I look forward to being back.
I look forward to having you back for a full hour.